Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Give up for somebody.
I'm with you, Jim.
That's the part. I think it would have been more interesting to see if the 49ers go a little bit more in if that pick was further back.
Yes, but I think that no matter what, you would have had to give up a player as well. And I don't know who, and this would be a question for you, Lo, what player on their roster would be comparable to giving up Jabril Peppers? Because what they had to give up, Cleveland gives up number 17 overall and number 95 and a pretty solid young pro in Jabril Peppers. So if the 49ers gave up, like Jim says, the number 10 pick, would Eric Armstead have been enough and a third round pick? And at that point, at that price point, is it too rich for the Niners?
There would only been one guy that they could have traded, in my opinion, one for one. There's only one guy on that on the Niners roster today that they would have said, well, you know what, we'll trade one for one, no draft picks with it, we'll just trade him. And you know who that is.
And that's Defoe.
Yeah.
DeForest Buckner.
Absolutely. And that ain't going to happen because then, you know, then you're set back again. So I think it was too rich for the Niners' blood, and it was simple. I'm out.
Do you like that they at least were in the discussion, or do you think it was one of those
Do you think it was a PR
after the fact? Yeah, look at us. We were right in there.
You know what, Coase? I really believe this organization wanted to get it done. And it was just too rich for their blood. They really wanted him. And I think this organization really wanted Le'Veon Bell. But it's just they looked at it, and I think this organization is saying, okay, what do we have coming up? Buckner's going to get paid after this year. I mean, sure as Monday come after Sunday, they're going to rip up that deal. This is going to be, you know, his fourth year. This guy is going to get extended either during the season or right after the season. They understand that. So now you're going to have a rookie deal in Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to tie up Buckner for 4 years, 4 to 5 years. You got four tied up. So now think about, you got a rookie guy in Nick Bosa that you're going to have on a rookie deal. Now you got Buckner. You're going to have three great pass rushers for the next 5 years sewed up on this organization. That's good business. That is a good business move by the Niners. So I think when you look at what they're doing, and that's why they said, if we do this and give up certain things, we are not putting our organization in a great spot, especially when it comes to salary cap as well. And that's why, unfortunately, they didn't go after a guy that I was standing on preaching hard on. And, you know, that was Le'Veon Bell.
Right. And I think that you make good points, and the foundation looks good defensively.
Yes.
And you still have draft capital.
Right.
And you do have some salary cap room. But my question is, and I'll start with you on this, Jim, is it a bad look for a team to be, quote, in on a player and miss out because they were in on Khalil Mack? They reportedly had a better offer than the Bears did, yet they miss out on that. They miss out on Le'Veon Bell. They don't get Antonio Brown. They don't get Odell Beckham Jr. Is this a stain on the organization? Is this kind of the San Francisco Giants-ification of the Niners? Because they miss out on Stanton. You miss out on Bryce Harper. Is it good to be in it? Or does this make you look bad because you can't close the deal?
Missed out on John Lester beforehand. Missed out on Greinke.
Yes.
They kept telling you, everyone
kept saying, cross-pollinate the take. I love it.
I know. How does it feel to be number two? And that's when Bobby Evans said, well, you know, at least we're winning World Series. That was a pretty good line.
Right.
That's not so bad. If you're going to come in second on the other things.
Even year coming up next year for the Giants.
There you go. They're right back at it. Here they come. You know what? I want to believe that the 49ers are in it and close and serious about it. I'm just so jaded right now to think that they know that they have been so unwatchable since the last year of Jim Harbaugh all the way up until now that I think they have to find some layers of positive publicity. And if it's to say, look, we're in on Khalil Mack, look, we're in on OBJ, that they can build some of it. But I want to believe that they're truly in on it and they're trying to get themselves some weapons for their quarterback who they gave big money to last year. They better be a team that is in it in December, or else this whole thing has been a big fat waste of time. You can turn it around more quickly in the NFL. So I would tell you that I want to believe their sincerity, yet I still have a foot off the bandwagon.
I get where you're at, Jim. It's just tough right now for the Niners to do everything we want. Just like I wanted Le'Veon Bell, you want a receiver because you want to make sure your quarterback has someone to throw to. And I understand, me and you are in the same church that you think that the tight end that they have is good. So we understand that, but we all now know we need a receiver, and hopefully they do address that.
Yes, and you're looking to build for this year. I understand that you think that they could win 8 or 9. That hot take filtered all the way to Las Vegas.
Really?
I was able to pick that up.
Wow. And, you got that hot take all the way there?
I did get that. It was a bit of a hot potato where you open it up and you know the potato inside's not as hot as you thought, and then the skin on the outside's a little crispy, a little crustier than you wanted.
Are you in the same church though as I, please?
I don't think that 8 or 9 is that bold. Now, if you're talking 9 is different than 8 or 9. So I thought it was a little bit milquetoast.
No, here's the thing, though. People,
I thought you came in a little soft to the cup.
Coast. People on the text line absolutely murdered me, said that I was playing Homer and all those different things, and I laid it out.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Tough schedule this year. We know that.
Yes, and
we know that.
And Coles talked about 5 Pro Bowl type of quarterbacks they got to travel
to. It's unbelievable. The quarterbacks are going to
I love
it. The gauntlet's tough. So with all due respect, everyone came at me, Dib, so for you to think it's a little milquetoast, you're wrong and out of line.
That's 4 upticks, by the way. You're on fire here on a Monday morning. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Joe is off for a couple of days getting some R&R. Jim Cozumel, cousin Jim, happy to step in. Happy, of course, is in quotation marks. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you details on our golden ticket contest. You don't want to miss a chance to get qualified for tickets throughout every Warriors home playoff game. And this, is it amazing that the Warriors haven't had a loss like the one they had on Saturday in the 5-year Kerr run? Well, Coach Kerr thinks it is amazing that that was the first of those. We'll get into that next. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here is our friend Anna Kagarakis with what's happening on the game.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Joe Lowe and Dibs. Up in 10 minutes, details on how to get qualified to win the golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket, and if you win it, you get to go to every Warriors home playoff game. Details on that up in 10
that
minutes.
That is huge.
It's about
that
as good
huge.
As it gets, Jim.
Golden ticket, man. How are you not listening to every minute of this station with a chance to get 2 playoff tickets for a run that's going to take you into June?
It's great work. It's re-tease right there as opposed to a tease blocker, low. See, this is what you call a re-tease.
He was all in on that. I mean,
trying to make up.
Give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
We'll give him a light one.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, that might have been your finest hour.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But if you're on the bridge right now or if you're caught in traffic on 101 down on the peninsula, aren't you sitting there thinking, man, that is worth it right there? 2 tickets to the Warriors in the playoffs throughout the playoffs? Bang.
Now you've gone too far, but that's coming up in...
I might quit this job and get involved in the ticket giveaway.
You and I both know full well you're not quitting anything with your
might
young
not be
family.
My choice. Won't be my choice.
Your young family and your bottom line.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not walking out that door.
No.
And actually, Jim Cozumel in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as Joe Fortenbaugh enjoys a little time away.
That might have been a tease that you probably shouldn't have used. I got to laugh out of you, bud.
You win some and you lose some.
You're the best.
888-957-9570. We're here to take your phone calls or hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line at 957-95. We teased the comments from Steve Kerr, gentlemen, as we go back to Saturday night and the Saturday night debacle as Dallas was able to come in here and, quite frankly, motorboat low, the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr talked after the game about how it's really quite amazing that this hasn't happened before.
I realize, over 5 years, it's more surprising than that game last night is not having any of those games for 3 years. Like the first 3 years of this run, I don't think we had a single game like that. And you think about what these guys are doing night after night after night. Taking everybody's best shot, playing deep into June. It's actually surprising that there haven't been more of those nights over the years.
You agree with him, Jim, that it is surprising? I mean, we can take this year out of it and just put this year in a vacuum. How many times that they have gotten motorboated? And a motorboating in the NBA is when you lose by 20 or more points. It's happened, I believe, 6 times at home this season. Is it amazing that they haven't had this sort of 35-point blowout at home before.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, you can factor in that they are the best constructed team in the NBA by far. And yet still there are those nights where you just don't have it. There are those nights in which even like if you've got four stars on the floor, it's just a night where maybe two or three of them aren't getting it done. And if you're going to rely on the bench guys, you're not going to get over the hump. You're right. I think you'd have to agree with Steve Kerr to say, sure, Saturday night happened. But to have that not happen for three full seasons, that's pretty impressive to be so incredibly dominant. And even on nights in which you lose low, you're still in games and you're not being embarrassed by anybody. Even though a loss, you could say a loss at home to Phoenix was embarrassing, but not getting motorboated, well, that's pretty darn impressive on that long run of dominance throughout the NBA.
Dibs, if I may.
Please.
I love Jim.
Uh-oh.
For several reasons. He tells us, we're coming into the show, you know what, this is could be a problem. They got beat, all this stuff. And then, you know, Steve Kerr makes a statement. He's like, wow, he comes full circle. So at least that's what I love about him. At least he understands.
No, I didn't come full circle.
Yeah, I mean, first it was end of the world. The sky's falling. They got beat so bad. And this, you know, this is not the only time.
It wasn't the sky is falling.
It's just, it's a situation, though, where it's great that Steve Kerr gets it. And I guess, Jim, it's because you wasn't a former athlete and played on a pro level like I, and that's why I don't take it so seriously. Mm-hmm. And because it's tough. It's tough to play at that level and play at a level where you're always dominating. And for Kerr, he's absolutely right. For 3 years, this hasn't happened often. I think that we sometimes are just spoiled, and we're spoiled immensely, and you just happen to be one of those people as well.
You're an awful human being for saying that. Here's the deal. There is a massive layer of spoil where we live.
Yeah, I agree.
And 50 wins 6 straight years now becomes ho-hum. People yawn at that stuff. Are you kidding me?
No.
You go back to those years in which, they made the playoffs once in an 18-year stretch? And if we were to told those fans, you're going to win 50 games 6 straight years. They're going to win a few championships along the way. You would be salivating over that.
You're right, Coz.
It's happening now, and I've got Klay Thompson yelling at the fans saying, hey, we need the fans to get up.
Was he yelling?
He wasn't yelling, and he wasn't wrong either.
There's a little bit of spoil in this fan base right now.
There is, and we've discussed this ad nauseum, and it happens to every fan base across the country and really across the world. As you win and ticket prices go up, the fan base changes, and the people who wholeheartedly scream and yell for you, if they get priced out or priced upstairs, you don't have the same level. And quite frankly, the Saturday performance was not worthy of much in the way of cheering. They got blasted by a Dallas team. You didn't guard Dirk Nowitzki from behind the line. Luka Doncic was able to have his way with you, and it was largely a no-show by Golden State. And one of the curiosities, Steph Curry not playing for load management after 48 consecutive ball games. Is that one of those things, Jim, where you kind of have to hold your nose as a Warrior fan if you were planning to see Steph in the sixth to last game ever at Oracle?
Here's how I look at it. I praise the Warriors for if you're going to load manage a guy, manage him at home, not on the road. You might only get one chance to see the Warriors, maybe two chances a year to see the Warriors. They pay money on the road to see that. The counter to that is, and I get it all the time on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Yeah, but what about the home fans who go and pay money all the time? Don't they want to see their superstars? I get it. I came up with this idea. If you're going to load manage a guy at home, and you can't tell me that Steve Kerr came up with the idea that morning, right? He had to know this in advance. I think the NBA's got to institute something where if you're going to load manage these superstars, teams got to say, you know what? Within 36 hours of tip-off, they're letting the fans know. So if you don't want to have to pay the $300 ticket to go see, hey, my kid wanted to see Steph Curry. I can afford one game at $225 a ticket. I got to know if Steph Curry's going to play. I think they got to do something for the fan base on that.
I always thought that exit pricing would be the really forward way to do it. So you pay
a minute.
You pay a standard rate to get in, and if the game exceeds expectations, you pay a little bit more on your way out. But if you have a superstar get load managed, or if the home team gets blasted by 35 points, maybe you get 10% or 20% off on the way out. It's called exit pricing, Jim, and it's probably coming up in about 10 years.
Did you trademark that? That's a darn interesting idea.
It's the next level of dynamic pricing, which we see in Major League Baseball, where a good opponent comes in, or if the team's playing well, then the ticket prices will rise later in the year. This would just be exit pricing.
Exit pricing, huh? Now, are you saying you'd get money back? Like, let's say everyone had to put $100 in the pot when you walked through the
yes.
door. All right, you put $100 in the pot, and the Warriors lose by 21.
They lose by 35 to Dallas, like okay, they did on Saturday.
All right, and it's Saturday. On the way out, what are you doing? You're Rick Welts, what are you doing?
I'm getting probably 10 bucks back.
Okay, so I'm walking out the door, you're handing me a fin, right? Or 10, what's a 10? Two fins?
Yeah.
Fins, $5?
Fin's a sawbuck, I believe. You're getting a couple
exactly.
of sawbucks as we
saw
go
bucks.
Back to the 1930s.
Thank you very much. That's right, kid.
Yes. But you're not getting in cash. You would get it on your Warriors players fan card
okay.
voucher sort of thing. Exit pricing, Jim.
I like where you're going with this.
Well, right now, you don't have to worry about pricing if you can win the golden ticket.
Wait a minute.
And the Golden State Warriors in 95.7 The Game present the golden ticket starting Monday, low April 1st. We are giving you three chances each day to text, tweet, or call to qualify for a pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game.
That is absolutely going to be an amazing gift. The golden ticket. You know the golden rule. Who owns the golden ticket rules? I love it. I think everyone should be texting, tweeting, and trying to get these tickets because they're unbelievable.
For a chance to qualify during our show, you tune in at 7:25, 7:30, and 7:35. Again, this starts next Monday, April 1st. So you tune in at 7:25, 7:30, and 7:35, and you get a chance to get qualified to win the golden ticket only from the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game. Full details and contest rules at 957thegame.com. So up on Monday, golden ticket qualifying. Right now, 888-957-9570. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Co's in for Joe as we are talking about the Golden State Warriors. And let's turn our attention to yesterday's ball game, gentlemen, as the Warriors able to get a bounce back victory after losing by 35 on Saturday. They come in and handle the Detroit Pistons. But the big takeaway, Jim, is Kevin Durant and his pretty quiet output. 6 field goal attempts. He did go 5 of 6 from the floor. And he had this to say about his muted night with The Rock.
Look, we got a lot of scoring out there on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, how many assists we had? 31, you know. So that's the formula for us. And you know, when I get the ball in the post, we usually have a lot of movement on the side. Or if I get in the pick and roll, then, you know, I see somebody open, I got to pass them the ball. So I didn't want to force shots tonight. And if some of the shots I would have took tonight would have been forced, then last game I forced a bunch. So trying to help us get back in the game. So, you know, I just try to play a different game tonight. Is that a problem, Marcus? Anybody else? Oh, all right, bet.
Anybody else? Anybody in here have a problem? Lorenzo? Anna?
Not at all.
I do.
James?
I do.
Oh,
let me ask you this. It's round two against Houston. Are the Warriors better with Kevin Durant taking 6 shots, or are they worse with Kevin Durant taking 6 shots?
It's
in a game that matters.
It's not round two, though, Jim. Let me ask you this.
Are they
better off having Kevin Durant go 9 for 25 in a 35-point loss, or go 5 for 6 in a pretty convincing victory?
No, your analogy doesn't make any sense. My analogy is spot on. He takes
what?
6 shots in a game that matters. All right.
What?
And by the way, he's a -7 on the night with this 6 points, and then he's running it at the media. Was he trying to make a personal point?
I think he was just trying to prevent the media from propelling the narrative that we are now propelling.
Look, is that it?
6 shots from Kevin Durant.
Oh,
is it something that should trouble us?
No, and it's interesting just how Coase just goes on these little tangents. He's having fun with who? Marcus Thompson. Do you know him? They're boys. He has a great relationship. He probably has the best relationship with everyone in that locker room. Marcus Thompson is their guy. Is it got a problem with that, Marcus? And what everyone do, laugh. He's been friendly. First you say that he's this. Then it's that. I mean, hell, what can he do?
What are you talking about?
Kevin Durant. You're saying, is something wrong with Kevin Durant because he only took 6 shots? And
I didn't say something wrong. I said, are the Warriors better with him taking 6, or are the Warriors better? You know what? I'd take the 9 for 25 over the 6-shot game.
Even though of the 25, a handful of them are forced, though.
And they got to pay attention to him differently defensively. Yes, I'd rather have him go 9 for 25 and be in part of the flow. That's just the way I look at it.
But I think that he is part of the flow when he goes ahead and he distributes the ball, because you know that you got some prolific scores on that. And he talked about that, and he goes, look, I know when I just take sometimes a tough shot, there's a better opportunity at times there. And I think that this team is trying to get in playoff form by moving the ball around and doesn't get KD isolated, because there's been too many times last year that I said, we're playing isolation ball. And you're one of those guys, Jim. And that's what you said.
I remember that.
I mean, there was a time out there where everyone said, oh, well, KD's taking, he's rushing it too much. He's playing one-on-one basketball. And now he's trying to get in the flow because he is trying to win a championship. And that's what it's about. So he'll sacrifice his scoring. There's a lot of guys, James Harden, we talk about. He's a ball-dominant guy who wants to go to the rack, who wants to shoot the three, who wants to shoot all the time, and sometimes it takes away from the rest of the guys' game flow. So when you have this many prolific shooters, when KD, Steph, Klay Thompson, you have three guys that are unbelievable shooter, share the wealth, and then you have a guy in the post in Boogie Cousin that is a dominant guy there. So the more they share the ball, the easier it becomes, the less now they're not one guy ball dominant. I like what Kevin Durant is doing. I think that it's going to help this team. And when Kevin Durant needs to get a bucket, trust me, Steve Kerr is going to call timeout and say, hey, let's run the offense. Let's do some different things. That's why you have a coach. So I like the way that he's doing it. I have no problems with it.
All right. Are you at least bothered? Let's not say bothered. Are you at least raising your eyebrows saying, you got motorboated on Saturday. You come back Sunday, and you play your guys 35, 35, 35. And how many minutes did Klay play in the ballgame yesterday? He was over 30. He was deep into the 30s yesterday.
Klay had 37.
37. The other guys are Curry, Durant, Green, each playing 35. If you're saying you're getting playoff ready, right, you're playing your guys' playoff minutes right there because that's what they're going to play in the playoffs. That's the Kevin Durant you want to see in the playoffs?
I think it's different when you look at what he did the night before. You mentioned 9 of 25, but 0 of 8 from three-point land. So I think he looks at that game and he sees some three-pointers early in the shot clock and some threes that are probably forced. And so the next night he withdraws a little bit, knowing that Steph is coming back and that he provides that spacing from the post, the mid post, and he's able to distribute 11 assists for Kevin Durant yesterday. And the Splash Brothers obviously played much better as well. 19 of 36 combined for Steph and Klay. They combined for 50 points. So I think KD modified his game a little bit and he was able to find the assist as well. I know Draymond Green had some interesting remarks about Kevin Durant and taking very few shots, and whether or not that's actually good for the team. Let's hear it from Draymond.
We function better when he's playing basketball and being aggressive. I think he was, he was very good distributing the basketball, 11 assists, 2 turnovers. You can't complain about that. But, when it boils down to it, we're going to need Kevin Durant taking more than 6 shots. So, nobody's complaining about it. He took 6 shots tonight. It's not the end of the world. But, when it's money time, we're not going to have Kevin Durant take 6 shots. So, it is what it is. But I thought he played a good game tonight.
Thank you, Draymond Green, the voice of reason here, Lo. Is it Draymond versus Coase? Who do you have here?
Thank you for agreeing with me, Draymond. Michigan State guys stay together.
Did you hear? No, you're wrong. I mean, you
said exactly what I just said.
We just, if you listen to what just took place, he said they still won. It was nothing wrong with that. And he understood. And I said, when game's on the line, I said, don't you think Steve Kerr's going to call timeout and get this guy involved? Right now, there was nothing wrong with it. They won the game. And you think about, and then you said, well, I don't care about this. It's about the number one seed doesn't mean anything. It's a reason.
When did I say that? What show are you listening to?
You talked about.
I said earlier we talked about him shooting the ball.
I know earlier we talked about. You said if Denver and the Warriors meet, you could see the Warriors just sitting everyone because you know what? They don't care about the number ones. You said the
I didn't
ones.
Say because they don't care. I said if they've extended a lead out, then I could see them resting it. That's what I said. You're putting words into my mouth. Go.
Okay.
We're tight. We're boys.
Okay, we are. So. Okay, so now you're backing down. So that's good. So now we're starting to see this. It's great that you're starting to come around to my way. Because the text line is totally agreeing with
me. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're all on your side on this one.
Chill not about a text line, 95795. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. Are you Team Coase on the KD question, or are you Team Draymond? Also up in 10 minutes, we're going to play some sound from Draymond Green about being targeted – as targeting comes to the NBA, low.
Yeah, and I just really believe that this team is fine. And yes, the other night they got motorboated. We saw that, and it's not necessarily a good look. But I think that this team has been there. They've been battle tested. Steve Kerr talked about, hey, we've been in this situation 3 years. We haven't gotten beat like this. It is bound to happen. I think that they're fine. I think you'll see this team continue to sharpen up. And I still believe that this team will be the number one seed. And that's why you see those guys play for 37 minutes, the amount of minutes that they're playing, because it does mean something to them. They do want to be the number one seed. So I believe that this team is fighting to get the number one seed. And since they're in this, they're going to do it.
A couple of days off before the trip to Memphis and then Friday at Minnesota. By the way, starting Monday at this time, your chance to get qualified to win the golden ticket, which is a pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game, starting Monday at 7:25, 7:30, and right now, 7:35.
We
will qualify listeners to win the golden ticket only from the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game, and more details and contest rules at 957thegame.com. 888-957-9570. What to make of the Kevin Durant game, and how does this team look as it pertains to the number one seed? 9 games remaining for Golden State. The Denver Nuggets, of course, with 10. Jim, I know you wanted to counterpoint Lorenzo Neal's point about KD.
Let's always remember this. I have been the first one to say I've got my 2 lawn chairs on Broadway in Oakland ready for the parade. I've been saying that since, I don't know, December.
Although, truth be told, you're on the platform doing parade coverage with makeup on. So.
Yes, I am. Yes, multiple Emmys for my performance. Yes, if you want to pull that out of me, Dibs, I appreciate you.
No, you
Thank
shouted
you.
Us out.
I hate to have to bring that up, but I appreciate you bringing up my Emmys.
No,
Thank you very
and
much.
And I will bring up, and you know, only one person in this room doesn't have an Emmy, and we don't need to point him out. Spoiler alert, Anna's got 2.
I agree. But the bottom line is, listen, I've had lawn chairs out there since December.
Sure.
Waiting for another but if you want me just to sit here and throw rose petals at the Warriors every time we come on the air, we can gladly do that. Gosh, Steve Kerr's the smartest for letting Steph take the night off on Saturday because his wife had a birthday, or
load management,
not saying
Jim.
Anything
load
about,
management.
About KD and his 6 shots. Gosh, that's the greatest thing. That if you want me to do that, I'd be happy to do it. It's kind of boring.
Why are you staring at me?
Because you're the guy who keeps slinging the arrows at me.
Listen, we're not
slings
playing.
And arrows, my friend. Slings and arrows.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate you covering that up, making that look good, because I was getting ready to come down his road, probably in a way that he didn't want to hear, because it would put him in an awkward situation. But anywho, I'm not. You're sitting here saying that you're. I just think that you're making a molehill out of a mountain. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't think
it's a mountain. It's just a question.
But you earlier in the show, if you go back and check the tape, you said, oh, this is a curve that he only took 6 shots.
I did think it was a curve.
And man, was he trying to send a message? I think we're overreacting. I think here's a guy.
And let's have ho-hum sports talk.
I'm just saying, yes, will KD shoot more than that? Absolutely. But is it a problem? They won the game. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you watch New England Patriots play in certain situations, they only throw the ball 15, 20 times. You're like, what's wrong with? Is something wrong with Tom Brady's arm?
I've never said that, but you might say that. Here's the thing. On the Durant comments, there's another comment he had in the postgame in which he was pointing out all the, you know, hey, I'm a well-rounded ball player. I can fill out the stat sheet, which I found to be a little bit. Why does he have to talk about his resume? That guy's the most prolific scorer in the NBA right now. That guy is the best offensive player in the NBA right now. And I just found it interesting what he had to say after the ball game.
It's his animosity that he has toward the media, all of us included. It seems like when it comes time for the Q&A, now he's trying to head off the reaction and head off the stories at the pass. But to me, it comes across in a negative light, unnecessarily negative, especially when you look at a night where you go 5 of 6 from the floor. If you take the name off of the stat line, if I tell you a guy has 14 points on 5 of 6, he has 5 rebounds, 11 assists, only 2 turns, and he was a -7, you would say, it's a pretty good game.
Pretty good game.
Pretty good game.
No question about it.
He was efficient. He wasn't that impactful maybe in necessarily the minutes that he was on the court, but pretty solid game. You would have thought 14 and 11, probably just some faceless, no-name big who went out and had himself a pretty good night at the office. Maybe Nene. It'd be a Nene line.
If that was a Bogut line from last night, and the 11 assists were 11 rebounds, you reverse the rebounds and the assists, you'd go, yeah, I get that night. But he's Kevin Durant. He's the best player in the game.
But he doesn't have to be the best player in the game night in and night out, especially when the Splash Brothers go off. And Draymond Green, gentlemen, let's get into Draymond for a minute because he had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. He did have 3 turnovers, but what he did on defense against Blake Griffin, if you break down all of the great head-to-head matchups in the association, this one's got to be among my favorite because, you know, it's not necessarily, quote, bad blood, but it's competitive bad blood.
Yes.
When they go head to head, you know that they're trying as hard as they can to get over on the other one. And Draymond Green had some interesting comments in the post game about the Detroit Pistons trying to target him in the post.
At some point, somebody got to figure it out. Like, just don't target me in the post. I've been dealing with that my whole career, though. It used to piss me off. No, it's just like, whatever. If y'all gonna do that, you'll probably lose. So that's how I approach it.
That's how he approaches it, Lowe. And when you look at the line from Blake Griffin, he did have 24 and 6 and 8 assists, but a minus 14 for Blake. And again, Draymond Green gets the better of the former Clipper.
Yeah, and what Draymond does, he makes you work. Whether you get 24, whatever you're going to do, you know it's not just going to be just an easy day at the park because the guy's going to be in your face. He's got tenacity. He's going to frustrate you, and you saw that. Yeah, Blake Griffin had a good game, but shoot, for Draymond to get 14, you know, you look at that, that's a good night for Draymond as far as even scoring. And he's talking about guys targeting him in the post. You know what? Draymond understands, hey, guys are going to go at him, and he's talking about his maturity. And I think that we need to see that. And I think that the listeners and the players and the coaches all want to see Draymond be able to mature and do those things because of the fact people are get outraged when Draymond, you know, is upset. I love the guy. I think that he's the heart and soul to this team. He's a glue. And he's telling you that, hey, I matured. He goes, yeah, I used to get PO'd when that happened, but now he goes, I let it go. And, you know, so I'm glad that he's maturing, Coase. And this is just a heck of a player, and he loves competition.
I like the heavyweight matchup. I agree. Blake Griffin's the guy I want to like but can't. And I haven't liked him since he threw water on those fans. Remember the move that he had with the cup behind him. Like he throws the cup like he's questioning a call on the floor.
Right.
Oh, and he kind of peeks over his shoulder before he does it to make sure he hits the fans. I didn't like, so I can't like him. I want to. He's funny, but I can't like him. And so I like when he and Draymond go toe to toe. I like when Draymond spouts off about it. We're not going to see as much of it as we did when he was with the Clippers. So it was well worth, that was to me worth the price of admission. But, you know, in the end, the Warriors are just priming themselves for what starts after April 10th, right? We're not kidding anybody. That's when it all matters.
No, it does, and you want to get the top seed if you can. And as you look at the schedule ahead, I think the Warriors have a pretty good opportunity to seize it. You go to Memphis Wednesday, to Minnesota Friday. You host Charlotte on a Sunday, and then it's the big game a week from tomorrow, Denver coming to town to take on Golden State.
So can I just add real quick? So it's going to be 2 days off Memphis, day off Minnesota, day off, come back home. Is that right? Is that what it was?
Yep.
Day off before you have the next big game.
Yes.
See, so you've got it slated pretty darn well right now if you want to make a push for the one. The way the schedule is laying out, you're not just playing road games. If they're back-to-back, I'd be a little bit more questioning of this. I think they go to Memphis. Memphis is struggling. I think you have the day off. You go to Minnesota. You can put the wood to them. You get the day off, you come home, now you're back in the friendly confines.
You've got Charlotte at home, and that would be the fourth to last home game. And by the way, up in an hour, we give you number 5 in our top 10 moments in the history at Oracle Arena.
Ooh.
That's coming up at 8:45, something to look forward to. Jim Barnett coming up at 8:30 as well. You mentioned the Denver game, then you have a night off. The Lakers come to town, a battered and beleaguered Laker team.
Winners last night.
Lonzo Ball apparently breaking ties with Big Baller Brand in news this morning, which has virtually no significance to the game, but worthy of mention.
You needed to. I mean, here's a guy. I think it's a great throw-in. Here's a guy that, you know, trusted his dad with his brand, cost him millions of dollars. And you know what? He's looking at it saying, oh, my God, I might not be the superstar that I wanted to be in the NBA. I better do what I need to do in order to play the game. And so, yeah, it broke off from big ballers, and now Lonzo's going to be wearing some shoes that people know about. So kudos to him, because it's tough. Think about a parent that's invested in you and he's made you and all those different things, and it's hard to necessarily just leave your father or leave your parents and being like, okay, I'm doing my own thing. So kudos to him.
888-957-9570. Do the Warriors have the inside track for the one seed, and what do you make of Kevin Durant's muted offensive night, taking just 6 shots in the Warriors' victory over Detroit, 121-114. Jim, if you look at the final 5 games, the Warriors take on the Lakers, not a playoff team. The Cavaliers, an embarrassment in the wake of the LeBron James defection. The Clippers, a playoff team, but then you've got New Orleans and Memphis on the road, neither of them playoff teams. You might be in a situation where you can get some load management even at the end of the year.
You can, and I don't think that they're a team that has to, you know, you don't have to get your guys consistent minutes all the way to the end so that they're kind of used to what's going on. They know what to do once you get to April, May, and June. I will be intrigued at the Clipper game because it could be Warriors-Clippers in round one. And while the Warriors are going to win that series, the Clippers play hard. And if they can sneak a couple of games out and just extend the Warriors, that's going to be the biggest thing to me because of the number of games they've played already in their championship runs. How much are they going to get extended? Are they going to be able to get out of these early rounds in 4 and 5 games as opposed to 6 games? I don't anticipate a first round going 7 with the Golden State Warriors. But if the Clippers can steal 2 and get it to 6 games, that's unnecessary usage on the body because I think it is going to be a little bit tougher road, especially once you get to the finals.
And that's why, Dan, even if they're in load management mode, I'm not a huge proponent of that. You saw what happened to Rams. Certain times you let a team get that type of rest. Your time and your rhythm, even though you're practicing and scrimmaging, it hurts. You're off kilter, and especially if you catch a team like the Clippers that can run and those stuff. So, man, you're going to be winded. You're going to rely on the bench early because of the fact guys aren't used to that playing at that speed. So you do. It's hard enough to keep up with them anyway. So in my opinion, you do, even when you clinch this thing and you're the number one seed, You got some load management, but you still play these guys. I'm not necessarily giving these guys nights off. I'm telling guys, like the preseason, I want to see execution. I want to see attention to details. I'm not going to kill you. Keep you 15 to 20 minutes, but you do it that way. But I think it would be a huge, huge mistake to just give guys all these guys nights off.
How much do you want to fight for the one seed, Lo? Are you of the mind that it doesn't really matter? Because the big edge, obviously, would be a Game 7 potentially against Denver in the Western Conference Finals. And we saw last year, Game 7 at Houston, the Warriors were able to handle their business, winning Game 6 and Game 7, in fact. How important do you think it should be, or is it, for the Warriors to keep that number one?
Well, I know it's exception in the rule, and I know the Warriors have been that. And Jim this morning talked about, hey, let's be honest and be fair and balanced. And I'm with you with this, Jim, that this is the best team assembled. A lot by the draft and then getting some great free agents and KD and DeMarcus Cousins. So I'm 100% with you. But and then, Daniel, you talked about, well, basketball and football really doesn't mean anything for home court, home field advantage. And even though I understand the series don't go as long, it's 7 games, and football's 1 game. I think that home court does matter in both, in football and in basketball. You know, I think when all things being equal, I'd love to have the home court.
Well, I think you're right, if all things are equal. But I'm taking a look at the route right now. If you had to draw up the best route for the Warriors to get to the finals.
You're right in my same church right now, because that's exactly what I was thinking. No, lay it out there, Jim, because I'm right with you, Jim. What is my question is, what's more important, getting the number one seed or being able to pick your route? Because the bottom four right now, Clippers, Thunder, Jazz, and Spurs, separated by a singular game, as we borrow from our good friend Joe Fortenbaugh. 1 game separating the bottom four. So, Jimmy, if you're going to pick your route, I know this is right where you're going.
Yeah.
Same church, same pew. Who do you pick?
Wow.
Who do you got?
I know that's a tough one because you've got San Antonio right now. If it lands the way it does today, Golden State has to play San Antonio round one. You know, Pop has proven what he can do in the playoffs. And again, they're not going to beat the Warriors in round one.
Right.
But you think that they of the teams there, they might have the best chance to get 2. Like if you were to say which team. Clippers, Thunder, Jazz, Spurs could win 2 games from the Warriors in a playoff
series. Because then we're talking about being taxing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about taxing.
We're talking about taxing.
It could be taxing. 6 games is more taxing than 5. And seven, you get into a whole other realm of taxing.
And if you get into a six-game first round as the one seed, then you're staring at, well, I'll tell you, is Portland Clippers an easier matchup in round two than Warriors Spurs in round one? See, I'm not sure I can figure out the best
argument
route.
I think about all those first rounders.
I'd rather play the Clippers.
You'd rather play the Clippers than the Spurs?
Because here's the thing about the Spurs. You know technique. You know attention to details. They're going to be there. The Clippers, yeah, they're a fun team, and they got a couple players, and we thought that this team was melting in, but they're continuing to climb, and they're continuing to win, and they're hot, and they're playing good basketball.
1-5 straight.
Yeah, I get that part of it. The biggest thing, what happens when pressure you're on a pipe? It usually busts. And I think if they played the Warriors in a playoff atmosphere, in that type of atmosphere, they would make mistakes. They would get down. They would start trying to shoot themselves back in it. And I think the Warriors' defense in playoff time, they do pack their defense. And I just don't think the Clippers have enough to really slow down the Warriors. But I think defensively, I think that the Warriors can stifle them when the playoff starts. I think that the biggest difference between the Warriors is going to be their defense.
888-957-9570. Pick your first round opponent: Clippers, Thunder, Jazz, or Spurs. And is it more important to pick your route, or would you rather have home court throughout the playoffs as the number one seed? Let's go to Al in Novato, Jim. We'll get more of your thoughts momentarily. Al, good morning. You're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Al?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm on my way to San Antonio just to let you know how far Warrior Nation spreads. Basically, it's like I've been saying all along. When I first recognized how they play like San Antonio a couple of years ago, let me just tell you this. It's not about individuality at all. It's whoever has a hot hand. And I think Kevin Durant is trying to tell people that. And when he has a night when he's not scoring a bunch of points, everybody's like, what's wrong with Kevin Durant? He don't play that game. The Warriors don't play that game. They play Warriors basketball. Don't ever forget that, dude. So the whole thing is, it doesn't matter who they play. They do definitely want, for a comfort level, the home field advantage. But, you know, whatever happens, whatever comes. But right now they're fighting for it, and they'll probably get it. And it's like, who's ever there? So San Antonio, it can be more difficult than anybody would expect. Nobody expected them to get into you guys anything. San Antonio was going to be in the playoffs this year. So, they're there. So the whole idea is this. Houston better watch out and hope they don't get San Antonio. I swear. It's going to be Warriors all the way. Whoever comes up, hey, good luck. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Safe travels to San Antonio. Enjoy the Riverwalk and make sure you hydrate, as we say to anyone taking a trip just about anywhere. Jim, you were going to jump in before we went to Al.
Before you rudely interrupted with a call.
Before I regrettably went to Al. Not in Novato, but in San Antonio.
Please. You know what? I'm looking at the way it's laid out. I think I might want to be in a position where I don't want the Rockets in the second round. Like, if the Rockets fall to four, and it's Rockets, Clippers in round one, or the Rockets get past them, I don't know if I want Warriors, Rockets in round two. I might want to wait until round three. I might want to exhaust the Rockets as much as I can before I have to get to them. Because as silly as this sounds, and the Nuggets are a 49-win team and a half game back of the Warriors, I'm more afraid of the Rockets than I am the Nuggets right now.
That makes sense to me, because you've got more experience on the Rockets, and Houston has that feeling that they can beat Golden State. You go back to last year, and they took them to seven games, and you look at this year, and they had a 3-1 advantage over Golden State.
Are you going to run that if we had Chris Paul chestnut up the flagpole? They would have won the series?
If you're inside that locker room, you say that, and you believe it. And that belief that you have, that self-belief, is worth something. Even though, from the outside looking in, you could say that's ridiculous. If the Warriors would have had Iguodala, then it wouldn't have been a series at all. So
that trumps your CP3?
It doesn't internally, though, because when you're a part of a team, or if you're coaching a team and you can put something like that forward, not as an excuse, but something to say, hey, look, we were that close to beating them. Look at what we've done this year, taking 3 of 4 from them. You've got a sense inside that locker room that you can beat the Warriors.
I think you want to stay away from the Rockets as long as you can. That's my opinion.
They scare you a little bit. Just
I'd rather have them fatigued a little bit more than have to get them a little bit more fresh.
I want James Harden to try to beat them, because I think that's where they go awry.
I have no faith that James Harden will show up in a game seven.
I know.
That's my opinion.
In your opinion?
Great, great regular season score, MVP of a regular season. I have no faith in him in the playoffs.
Because you've seen history. And he's every time he's played against the Warriors, whether it's the first round, whether it's the Western Conference Championship, you've seen him turtle up in big moments. You saw the one year they have a chance to win the game, and he just fumbles the ball away. Dibs are bouncing down the court, and things happen. So I'm not as afraid as the Rockets or you are. I think that this team, yeah, I'd like to meet them later, like you alluded to, but I think the Warriors understand what's at stake. And I know we talk about it. I know we say, hey, playing bad, this, that, and the other. It's something about the playoffs, man. It's something about when the lights are bright, and now you're no longer playing that 82-game season. You're no longer saying I'm traveling and I got to play for the fans. I got to show up and all the different things surrounding me. Oh, we owe it to the fans. Oh, it's the last. Look at all the things they're reaching for. Oh, it's the last time we're going to be playing at Oracle Arena. We need to give the fans what they want. It's tough, man. And these are the kind of things the Warriors have to do to motivate themselves. The building a dynasty, man, goes. It's friggin' unbelievable to play at this level and be on this top and be at the top of your game and be on top of the association for this many years, and everyone's gunning for you and everyone's switching teams. It's an arms race to try to compete for you. Look at all the free agency, how people are switching and doing other teams because of the Warriors, what they've done to basketball. They haven't ruined basketball. They made basketball more competitive. They made basketball more fun because, you know, free agents are always on the move. Trades are happening. Why? Because everyone is gunning for one team. And right now, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And unfortunately, the Warriors are still the rabbit because they have the gun and they're still dominant.
And until somebody knocks them off, they will be the defending champs. By the way, in that Houston Game 7 last year, the Rockets 7 of 44 from three-point land. They shot 16%. And James Harden, a big culprit in that, 2 of 13. So obviously, if you get into another Game 7 scenario with Houston, that game would be at Oracle. And you have the muscle memory as a Warrior fan of knowing that you beat him the last time in that similar situation. 888-957-9570. What do you make of Kevin Durant and 6 field goal attempts? Is it much ado about nothing? Or is it something you should keep an eye on? Like Jim Cosmore says, and if you could pick your postseason opponent for Golden State, your first-round foe, who would it be? Let's go to Leroy in Oakland. Leroy, you're on 95.7 The Game. Good morning.
Hey, Diz, Coles, Low, Anna. Hey, pleasure to be on. You know, I'm going to agree with Coles and Low. And the reason why I said that is I look back on the season, and I looked at Kevin Durant, and this team with Kevin Durant is most effective when Kevin Durant has an all-around game. I like Kevin Durant's numbers at about 23 points a game, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Then Klay gets to eat. He gets 26 points. Curry gets 20. I look back on that Spurs game back in, I think it was February, and those are the type of numbers that they had, and they motivated the Spurs. So I think when Kevin Durant has a balanced game, that's when we are at our best, guys.
Agree, Leroy, and thank you for the phone call. I don't think 5 of 6 is quite that balanced attack, and KD was a -7 in the win over Detroit. So somewhere maybe between the Saturday game where he shot 9 of 25 and yesterday's performance, that's probably the balance that we're looking for. 95.7 The Game in Clover, Sonoma have teamed up once again, and this time we're celebrating Clover's 50th anniversary by giving you a chance to win free milk for a year for your chance to be one of 50 qualifiers. Visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, it's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Jim Cosmore is in for Joe Fortenbaugh. Up at 8:30, we'll talk to Jim Barnett, television analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area for the Golden State Warriors, good friend of the program, as we pick through a mixed bag of a weekend. Jim Cosmore calling it a roller coaster with a dip, and not an incline, but a dip and a bit of a turn, a bit of a corkscrew after Saturday's embarrassing loss to Dallas and yesterday's bounce back to Detroit.
You know, I'm going through the schedule now, and I'm just trying to see if I can find a trend somewhere in which the Warriors said, all right, we're going to step on the gas here and kind of see what we can do as a team. And if you look at how they started the season, Remember, they won their first two ball games. They lost late to Denver. Wasn't that a late?
Damian Jones blocked at the cup
right.
against Denver.
All righty.
After they got a tip in to escape against Utah, and then they lost a heartbreaker the next night. They were 10-1 through 11 games.
Right. So they're 2-1. Then they win 8 straight, and so you think, well, they come out of the gate. They wanted to kind of set the tone. They wanted to be the aggressors early on. And then they kind of hit a malaise. Not that they played poorly, although they got whacked around by the Bucks. That was kind of the first ugly home loss. Remember everyone sitting around saying, well, you're going to maybe go perfect at Oracle in the final year. The Bucks come in and give you a good whacking. That was a 134-111 loss. But they hit that malaise from about November 8th all the way through, gosh, you can go all the way through December 1st, where it was a loss to Milwaukee, a win against Brooklyn, a loss to the Clippers, a win against Atlanta. Then
they went 9-9 over the next 18, Jim. They go from 10-1 to 19-10. So they were a 500 club for the next month, basically.
Yeah, you take a look at what they did for all that time. You have to go all the way through the loss to the Lakers. Then they get the Portland Trailblazers at home a couple of nights later. The Blazers get them in the overtime. And then the Warriors put it into gear again because they went on, they win their next two, lost to Houston in overtime by one.
Yep.
So run off 11 straight wins.
So 13 of 14 after the back-to-back losses on Christmas and at Portland. So what I'm hearing you say is you're looking for a pattern of consistency and you're not finding it outside of those two solid win streaks.
You know, and even, you know, even that streak where they won 11 straight, lose to Philadelphia, run off 5 straight wins right after that. I'm just trying to figure out, were there times when they said, we're going to put the pedal down, we're going to take it to some teams? Like one of those wins was at Denver, 142-111. So they were putting it down.
That's a throttling.
That is in their barn.
So they got to the All-Star break at 41-16. So from the time that they were 19-10, they went 22 of their next 28. That is the championship caliber we're used to seeing from this team.
And then if you go from February 13th until now, they're kind of middling along.
Yep.
They're just kind of getting to the finish line. When are they going to decide to put the pedal down? Are they going to do it anymore between now and April 10th? Or are they saying, nah, that weekend after April 10th, that's when we're pretty much going
to
put the pedal down?
9 games to go, low in the regular season. Do you sense that coming off of the Detroit game, an impressive win, attention to defense, you had everybody back except DeMarcus Cousins. Do you feel like that now the flip has been switched, like Jim is saying, or are they going to continue to be up and down heading toward the playoffs?
I think a lot of guys is going to determine where they're at. You know, where's Denver doing? And let's not be mistaken. This team understand how to win. And we all know, no one's doubting that they don't understand how to win when they need to win. I think we're all wondering about the consistency. Are we going to get a consistent product for the next 9 games? How hard will they play? Who's not playing? Who's in the lineup and who's not? I think Kerr understands what's at stake, and I think these young men does as well. They understand they didn't play well. They still know what Denver – you don't think that guys look at the record and says, I know what Denver has. I know who they're playing. We look at Denver's – who's Denver's record, who's they're going to be playing against. They understand how tight this is. And this team's watching. They're watching. Now, if they don't get the number one seed, is it the end of the world? Of course not. So, Dibs, to answer your question, no, I don't think that you'll see consistency, you know, at its high until the playoff starts. But I do believe this team will do enough to be the number one seed. I mean, if you said, hey, make the bet, would you prison bet it? Absolutely. You can lock it up that I prison bet that this team will be the number one seed.
Wow. Okay, that's good. Does it matter in the finals? Doesn't matter as much in the Western Conference. Doesn't matter in the NBA Finals.
Well, NBA Finals, if it's Milwaukee.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. All right.